drop anything in there, even your email address. So let's turn it over to Mary Jo Nutting.
Whoever was using this is a whole lot taller than me, I think, huh? Well, it's good to be here with you. We really appreciate churches that stand on the Word of God. And you might find it funny to know that some churches don't stand on God's Word. You wonder, why in the world do they come to church then, right? I mean, where does God's Word start? Genesis, right? Yeah, some people think it starts in Matthew. No, it starts back in Genesis. That's the foundation. And you know what we see in this country is the foundations are being destroyed. We see the foundations are being just knocked out of Christian kids and really our whole nation. And that's where it comes. That's where the attack is coming, is right back in the book of Genesis. I grew up in a Christian home. I believed in Jesus when I was a kid. I was taught the Bible, and I believed it. I believed it was true. I believed it was God's word. But at the same time, I was going to school. In school, I was learning what? Evolution. And I thought that was true, too. By the time I got done with high school, I thought evolution was a proven scientific fact. So what do? You got this struggle going on in your mind. And I think so many Christian kids are like this. They come to church, they believe in Jesus, they want to believe in Jesus, but while they're in school, their minds and their hearts are being just attacked by what the world is teaching. Evolution and all these other philosophies which are based on evolution. When I came out of high school, I was really split down the middle. On one side, I had creation in the Bible, and on the other side, I had evolution and what I thought was science. And they never met. Well, I went to a church college my first year of college. So what do they teach at the church college? What would you hope they teach? You hope they teach creation, wouldn't you? Well, the church college I went to, guess what? They taught evolution. They told me the days in Genesis 1 were representative of periods of time, millions and millions of years long, and that Genesis was a myth. It was written for primitive people who couldn't understand the science of evolution. They told me that order in Genesis 1 was roughly parallel to the idea of evolution anyway. And then they told me that, after all, God must have used evolution as his method of creating. And I went, oh, good, now I could have my science and I could have my Bible and I could put them together, right? Ever try that? Well, I thought it worked. So I went from that church college to a secular university. Guess what happens when you get to the secular university? Do they tell you that it takes God to do evolution? No. According to a secular university, evolution can take place all by itself without God. And this naturalistic, materialistic evolutionary process can explain, how did we get life in the first place? How did we get the universe? How in the world did people come about on this scene, right? How did goo turn into you over millions of years? Well, they can explain that, they tell you, without anything supernatural, without God. So when you come out of that university training after 4 or 5 years, what happens? Well, if you're logical, what are you going to do? Totally throw out the Bible, right? Totally throw God out of your life. I mean, if you don't need God to explain creation, then where's the room for God? Really isn't, is there? And people have a real misconceptions then about who God is. I mean, some people are saying, well, then the universe is God, right? The universe is this cosmic mind. The universe could just create itself. And so we have no need for the God of the Bible. Well, at that point in time, praise God, I wasn't really logical. I still hung on to my faith somehow, but I was so confused by this idea of evolution. My life really took a downturn in college, though, because I really didn't see God for who he was. I didn't see the authority he had in my life. I didn't see the truth of his word, so I couldn't really stand firmly on his word, could I? I was all just compromised. I went from that situation in a secular college then on to teach on a university level for just a short time or a high school and then later a college level. And while I was teaching at college level up in Alaska, one day I went into a little secondhand store and I picked up a little book. I paid 5 cents for that book. Dave says, good thing it wasn't 10, because if it was, I probably wouldn't have bought it. But 5 cents, the book called Evolution, the Fossils Say No. And God took that little book to turn our lives around. That little book was the first time I had ever seen any scientific information that went against the theory of evolution. It was the first thing that we saw that started us thinking. Now, we didn't just grab it overnight and turn around. It took us some time to think through this stuff. It took us a little longer to work through the ideas of how old in the world is this world itself? How old is this universe? That took us longer than it did just to, the idea that God created. But you know what? Over a period of time, you might say we evolved from evolutionists to creationists. Didn't take millions of years either. But God was involved in that process. And then one of our students by the name of Jeff, we had witnessed to him over and over again, and he just couldn't seem to buy it. And finally one day he said to Dave, Dave, I just can't buy this Jesus stuff. And Dave said, why not, Jeff? And he says, because evolution is a fact. That means Genesis is false. And if God can't get the first book of the Bible right, why should I believe anything else he has to say? He had a good point, didn't he? I mean, if the author is lying to you in the beginning, why would you believe the rest of it? If that very first verse is a lie, throw the book away, right? And so Jeff was being more logical, I guess, than I was at that point. But Jeff said, I can't buy that Jesus stuff because he thought evolution was a fact. Well, Jeff had the opportunity to hear Dr. Henry Morris from the Institute for Creation Research. He came up to our little tiny little college up in Alaska, gave a series of presentations. At the end of that time, Jeff came to us. He said, if evolution isn't true, it doesn't leave much, does it? He said, I better start doing some thinking. And within just a very short time after that, Jeff became a Christian because now he had a foundation for his faith. He could trust what it said in Genesis. Therefore, he could trust what God said in the rest of the Word of the rest of the Bible, right? And so at that point in time, we saw this is more than a scientific issue. I mean, we were thrilled it was a scientific issue, but at that point, we saw so much deeper. And since that time, we've seen it more and more and more because we've seen just, I don't know how many kids. You know, we hear about these students. We run into them on the university campuses. Their parents come to us and talk to us and tell us about their kids that used to be so strong in their faith, and then they went away to school, and they just got bombed. And so over the years, we've become so convinced this is such an important issue to get straight on. And so we hope that this morning, it's very important you listen carefully this morning. Dave's going to talk to you more about why this is so important. And then later, come back tonight. And when you come back tonight, bring high school students, bring middle schoolers, upper elementary kids, bring them tonight. Bring your skeptic friends. You know, you all got a friend who says, I can't believe the Bible because what? Evolution is true because of the fossils, because of the rock, whatever they tell you. Bring them tonight. They need to be here. We're going to talk tonight about was Darwin wrong. We're going to look at some of the best evidences of evolution and then show you another way to view that and some of the things in biology and geology. And so we want you to come back tonight for sure. All right, Dave, are you an evolutionary professor?
Yeah.
Okay, don't believe the first part of what he tells you.
I got to let you know, I'm going to be pretending for a little bit. There's a reason I'm saying that. Okay, we're going to look at the idea of discovering creation, worship the Creator, but in this whole process, we wonder, can you really believe your Bible? How can you believe it, huh? How can you worship this Creator when it looks like evolution is a proven fact, right? How can you believe it? Mary Jo is going to be passing around some think and believe sign-up sheets, but let's see. I'll get them going right here. This is for our publication called Think and Believe. And what we'll do is just have this one go in these rows, just back and forth, okay? This one and this other one. But basically, you notice one picture on this Think and Believe. You'll notice all these little mice with the cheese. You see that? A lot of people have been trapped by evolution, and there's reasons why they're being trapped by evolution. So make sure that you sign up for that Think and Believe newsletter. You believe your Bible? Can I pick on you? Huh? I can pick on you. You do believe your Bible. Okay, if you believe your Bible, tell me, how come we have so many different fossils showing how one different creature turned into another? We have all these lines of monkeys turning into people. Every day they're finding a new fossil. For instance, Ida they found this Ardi. You might have seen that in the newspapers. How do you believe your Bible when the Bible says man was made in God's image? Was God a monkey? Huh? Yeah, you believe your Bible? How come your arm is so similar to an arm of a monkey or even a dog or a horse leg? How come there's such similarities unless we have a common ancestor with all of those? Oh, by the way, did you know this is a picture? Can I pick on you? This is a picture of you when you were before you're born, 2 months in development, before you're born. Okay? You had gill slits, a yolk sac, and a tail, just like a fish. That shows you have fish in your ancestry, not Adam and Eve. So how can you believe your Bible when we know that chimps and humans share almost 99% of their DNA? Now they found out that even the chimp chromosomes, it looks like it's the human chromosome is a fusion of two, and this is the best proof of evolution now. It just shows this tie to monkeys. If evolution is true, we have millions upon millions of years worth of evolutionary development. So some things that we had in the past will be lost, like our DNA. And now we know that most of our DNA is junk, just like evolution would predict. Can you believe your Bible? You can. Okay. Then what page did you put dinosaurs on? Okay. Did God know anything about dinosaurs? Now we know that dinosaurs aren't really extinct. Go look for them at your bird feeder. They're right there. They evolved into birds, and we have all this evidence showing how a wing could develop from a leg and all of this stuff. In fact, over in Utah, they had just recently, a couple years ago, found an interesting fossil. It was a dinosaur with feathers. Showing again, dinosaurs evolved into birds. Even a fourth grader will look in a book, in their science book, and they'll see all these nice pictures of how one thing turns into another, turns into something else. Hey, face it, evolution is a proven fact. How can you believe that Bible? How can you do that? We have a horse series, one of the fossils, where you have the Dawn horse evolving into modern present-day horse. They now found legs on whales in the fossil record. Oh, you don't believe in evolution. Some of you are kind of shaking your head. Then look at it. We see evolution happening right in front of our eyes every day. Look at the different size and shape beaks on the Galapagos finches. All of these evolved from one finch. Minor changes make big changes given millions and millions of years. Antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Did you know bacteria are going to take over the world someday? They're evolving. Getting more and more specific. That's right. All of this is good proof for evolution. Yeah, you can believe your Bible, right? Then tell me, how come we can see most of the universe? The Bible indicates the universe seems to be quite young, and yet when you look at the universe, it would take billions of years for the light leaving the remotest parts of the universe to reach us here on planet Earth. That means we have time and lots of time. That means you can't trust the Bible. Okay? Radioactive decay dating has also verified this idea of time, and everywhere you look, we find evidence that that Bible doesn't stand. No, it doesn't. Oh, if you think the Bible is true, please tell me how you get all the different skin colors from lightest light to darkest dark. Let me ask you, was Adam and Eve black? White? Striped? Polka-dotted? You don't have an answer, do you? Yeah, so that, okay. How come Genesis 1 and 2 are conflicting accounts? Where did Cain get his wife? We have Cain and Abel, and Cain kills Abel. The next thing you know, Cain runs off with his wife. Where did she come from? Did God leave something out? Why didn't Jesus claim to be the Messiah? Maybe he never existed. But, you know, Jeff, you have only one to 2 hours a week with the students? What can you do in that amount of time when I, as an evolutionist professor or teacher or whatever, have the whole rest of the week to work with them? What can you do? Okay, I quit pretending. The reason I said I was pretending right at the beginning, because I came into a church one time, it's a great big church in Minneapolis, and here I'm giving this presentation. And this one little girl started getting more and more nervous and fidgety. And, oh my, I could see she's getting really frustrated as I gave one evidence after another, okay? You guys, I'm not going to fool very easily. But she, I had fooled. And pretty soon, right in the middle of this time I'm giving this sermon, she finally she says, "No!" You know, I wish more people would say no to evolution, because everything I brought up not only has an answer, but has a good answer, and that answer is actually better than the evolutionary answer for those things. I want you to know that. We'll work on that a little bit. The problem is, so many young people are getting hit with this day after day after day after day after day. It starts in elementary school, actually. By the time they're in middle school, we've already lost some of the kids. They might be sitting in the church, but mentally they're already gone because they can't trust the Bible. Okay? By the time they're in high school, they may not even be sitting in the church anymore. And they're off to college, the rest of them are gone. And I'm not talking about a few. I'm talking about as many as 80, 85%, or in Oregon, 90% of the people from evangelical church homes split the scene by the time they're out of college. That's the percentage statistic they're given. And that's why we are, quote, missionaries in this field, to show that you can trust the Bible. You don't have to throw out your faith. You don't have to lock your brains up to go into a science class. Okay? You don't have to check your brains at the door, in other words. You can believe the Bible. That's what we do. Okay. A lot of people don't understand that. But you know, evolution is a method of getting life, isn't it? Did we see it happen? No. We didn't see it happen. Did we see the universe begin? No. So when we talk about a naturalistic origin of the universe from nothing, one magazine actually stated it this way. At first there was nothing, absolutely nothing, and then it exploded. And out of that explosion, all the order in the universe arose, right? Ah, yeah. Okay. But then, out of that great big explosion, you know what? We have this explosion. All the order in the universe came about. There it is. It's called naturalism. Out of that big explosion, eventually, all of the life forms came into being, okay? As chemicals just accidentally got together. That is naturalism, and that is a philosophy, isn't it? And I'm saying that evolution is a philosophy posing as science. Got that? If you can wrap your brain around that, that makes a lot of sense of what's going on in the schools around you. Okay, now, we can give statistics, probability. What's the chance of one cell happening by accident? Do you know an atheist and an agnostic decided to calculate it? They found out it was one chance in 10 to the 40,000th power. They said it was more likely for a tornado to sweep through a junkyard and produce that Boeing 747 complete and ready to fly than it was. Easier to do that than to make one simple cell. Then they were quoted, "There must be a God." Well, did they run out and buy a Bible to find out about that God? No. They said in the article, "We are still looking for a way around our conclusions." Why? Because they're taught to be naturalists. They're taught that you can only look at natural explanations. You understand? That's how science is being taught. And Sir Francis Crick said it this way, "An honest man armed with all the knowledge available to us, well, now, could only state that in some sense, the original life appears at the moment to be almost a miracle. But he is an atheist. He won't accept it. He's committed to naturalism. Okay? Even though the evidence is staring at him. Evidence of design. They can't accept it. Here's what Scott Todd said. He said, even if all, and this is in the relating to the Kansas legislation and the big court battle they had, even if all the data point to an intelligent designer, such an hypothesis is excluded from science because it is not naturalistic. Time out. That definition of science has only crept in the last 25 years, that you can only look at naturalistic processes. And that leaves a lot to be desired. Like, for instance, give me a naturalistic explanation that doesn't involve design, okay? No design. Give me a naturalistic explanation for the origin of those shaped rocks. You might come up with one. For instance, rocks rolling around in a stream bed, cracking against each other, accidentally produce those shapes. Okay? That's a naturalistic explanation. But is it the right explanation? The answer, no, it isn't. But that's what we're kind of constraining ourselves to right now. We're giving possibly an explanation that's naturalistic, but not the right one. What explanation do you want your kids to hear? The right one or the wrong one? When we put ourselves in the box, like we're doing in the education system right now, they're going to be taught wrong answers, okay? It kind of explains this. If you're committed only to naturalism, it explains why two good scientists can look at the very same evidence and come up with completely different conclusions. See, the evidence isn't the problem, is it? Okay? No, it's not the problem. It's the interpretation of that data. It's the interpretation of the evidence. And if you've been taught nothing but evolution and evolutionary humanistic worldview, guess what? You have to force the data into an evolutionary interpretation. And yet, it might be able to be interpreted another way, too. Okay, it's just after Darwin's 150th birthday a couple of years ago, all right? And he's had a lot of impact, hasn't he? Almost every school around this nation, all they're going to hear is evolution. It's not only in the schools, it's in what? Museums, etc. Now, I want to stop right here. If you're a teacher in the public education system, I'm not rapping on you. You need to be there, okay? If you're a teacher, it's the biggest mission field in the United States today. Kids don't know where to turn. I remember when I was down in New Mexico teaching on the public school, this is not quite a number of years ago, I had students come up and say, oh, what do you do about this? Okay, I was teaching at Mesa College. They kept coming in to me asking questions, okay? And they didn't have anybody else to go to. But they found out I didn't believe in evolution. They started coming to me. And you can have that impact individually with your students as well. The students are getting bombed. It's a war out there, you might say. And the getting bombed with these things. How many have heard this? We can't have creation, after all. Creation is just religious myth. We can't teach that in school. After all, evolution is science, so that's what we teach. And if you believe in this crazy creation stuff, then you don't belong in a science classroom. I hear that over and over. I had a young man at Clemson University. Okay, he heard me speak last summer, made sure I got into Clemson. He did the whole thing to make sure I got into Clemson. He was a freshman student at Clemson. And interesting, when he started talking about what he's doing, he tried to get support even from some of the Bible Club people. He says, oh, no, we can't teach evolution or creation. No. After all, this is an academic institution. Oh, wow. They told him. His professor said, if you want to believe in creation, then why don't you go to that Christian college down the road? There's no room for that here at this university. That's basically what he was told. Isn't that sad? It's a war out there. Evolution is science. Creation is religion. You hear it about 15,000 times. Pretty soon it starts making your thinking that way, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's what happened. Mark Cahill, a youth evangelist, speaks to thousands of young people every year. He says the number one reason young people give him for rejecting the gospel is evolution. That's the number one reason. And that's with thousands and thousands of kids. Bill Gothard said it was 85% of the young people, boom, out the door by the time they're out of college. I already mentioned that. All right. Mary Jo and I were going to be doing a debate one time up in Jackson, Wyoming, at a public high school. Good chance, right? Great opportunity. Three evolutionists against three creationists. Now, as we're walking down the hall, Mary Jo overhears one of the evolutionists talking to the other two. They didn't know she was right behind them. Okay? They said, it doesn't matter what we say in this debate. All we have to do is get them, the students, on our side. Get the students on our side. And then, they said, remember, after all, we have the rest of the year to work with these students. Did I say it's a battle out there? It is. It's amazing. When Mary Jo heard that, I'm surprised she didn't pick up a 2x4 and club these guys. But she didn't. Anyhow, yep. Evolution is a science. Nope. Evolution is a philosophy. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. How many young people do you know of that have been bombed out of the saddle by evolution? Can you think of one or two or 10 or 15? Yeah. How many of your friends, young people, bombed by evolution? Probably can think of a few, can't you? Mm-hmm. A few nods. Uh-huh. They are. They're getting bombed by evolution. They are. Well, question, what do you do if you don't have the answer? Maybe your teacher or maybe one of your buddies throws something at you and you don't have an answer for it. You don't want to throw away your Bible. What do? I say you stand firm. You stop. Stop. Got that word? S-T-O-P. You stand firm. You trust the Lord. And that's what it says in Corinthians. Watch. Stand fast. In the faith, be brave, be strong. The T in is for trust the Lord. What's it say? Trust the Lord in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Oh, okay. Well, we can look at another one, too. Even if you don't have an answer, doesn't mean there isn't a good one. Okay? God says it this way. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Huh. You don't have to have all the answers, is what they're saying, right? The O is for observe options. Is there another way to explain this evidence? And then P is pray with patience. You got that? Pray. That should be first, shouldn't it? But that makes pots instead of stop, and I like stop there. Okay. Anyhow, so what do you do when somebody throws at you the idea of antibiotic resistance? Ah, that's evolution in front of you. What about those Galapagos finches? What about some of that stuff? Well, the answer to that is very simple. We have to think about dogs. Look at the variation between dogs. Big dog, little dogs, they're still dogs, aren't they? No new species. Yeah, there's change, but how do you explain that change? Variation within a created kind. That's how you do it. That's a biblical way of looking at it. Variation. So you can get big dog, you can get the little dogs, but you start with Heinz 57 variety mutts. And you pick and choose from the puppies, begin mating puppies with spots, and pretty soon, after a few generations, you get these things, right? You see, there's not much difference. There's no evolution, and here's why. No evolution because there is no new stuff. No new genetic information. All you're doing is dividing up what's already there. in the population. That's not evolution. That's a redistribution. Okay, so when you look at that, do you explain peppered moths? You explain variation within a kind is would be able to be talking about the different size and shape beaks. By the way, there's a lot less difference here than between Chihuahuas and Dalmatians, right? Okay, so you see that's a good explanation there. All right, Mary Jo is going to be talking more about that, but what about this idea I asked? What does that mean? Black, white, striped, polka dotted? Oh, incidentally, I have to tell you one thing. Everything I said, including the tone that I said it as I was pretending to be an evolutionist, I have heard from evolutionists, from professors, and from atheists in my debates with them. And they get a whole lot more nasty in the way they present it. Okay? They really do. And that's what the young people are getting hit with in college and paying good money to hear that from their professors. Okay? Anyhow, so how do you get all the different skin colors? Guess what? I hate to tell you this. Variation within a kind. We're going to talk about how you can look at Punnett squares, etc. Look at it biologically. You explain all the different skin colors, the different racial features real easily. Mary Jo will be talking about that just a little bit tonight, along with a bunch of other answers for questions that are normally brought up even by a biology instructor in middle school, okay? They're getting hit at younger ages, for sure. But if you can't make it tonight for some reason, you can't make it and bring 10 others with you tonight, okay? Make sure you get this book and buy 10 others to give them away. But anyhow, the Answers book answers 25 of the most asked questions on creation versus evolution, like how do you explain the origin of the races? Okay, what about the dinosaurs? What about this carbon dating and radioactive decay dating? Where did Cain get his wife? Okay, all that is explained. Well, let me explain one other thing. The picture of you. Oops. Oh, there she is. Okay. I thought she left. When you were 2 months in development before you were born, did you have these structures? And the answer is yes, you had those structures. Really? Yeah, the structure is not the problem. It's the interpretation that's the problem. It's in the labeling here because the gill slits are labeled as gill slits. Guess what? They're not gills and they're not slits. They're not. In humans, we never have oxygen transfer. In humans, guess what? We have that, but it's not a yolk sac. It's a blood-forming sac. Extremely important because the baby is not getting blood from the mother. It's getting fed from the mother, right? So it doesn't need yolk. The tail, I hate to tell you this, but not a one of you, I don't think, walked in here dragging a tail behind you. You see anybody? I didn't. Okay. But you all have that structure. It's very important for upright stance, incidentally. Without it, you won't stand very well. And if you fall on it, hit that, you can't stand, sit, walk, or anything comfortably, okay? Okay, well, the idea is you may not have the answer, but stand firm, okay? Stand firm, and when you really find out, then you get mad. I did. I did. Why are they telling me these are gill slits, a yolk sac, and a tail when they're not? Doesn't that make you mad? Somebody's trying to convince you of evolution, and they're using what I call fraudulent data. That's what they're doing. All right. Well, we're not talking about everything. Chimps and humans share almost 90%. You're going to find out it's way less than that. Way less than that. Mary Jo will talk about it tonight. The chromosome 2 fusion, best proof of evolution? Nope, it's not. It's almost brand new material. Most people haven't even heard of this yet, but it's going to be taught, let me guarantee you, in virtually every high school and college across the United States. Okay? Within the next year or two, it'll be there. But it's not good data. What about the idea? One thing turns into another thing, turns into something else. Well, you should find them if they're around, right? Don't they have these links out there? By the way, that's called a bird dog for you hunters. Why are you laughing at these? Don't you see them regularly when you go outside? Gene, up there in Glade Park, certainly have something like that. Right? Yeah. The reason you're laughing is because you know they don't exist. But if an amphibian's going to turn into a reptile, why not that? Or if a reptile's going to turn into a bird, how come we don't have something like this, or better yet, like that? Well, you know they don't exist, right? But when you look at those, you know to laugh. But when a young person looks at a textbook picture like this, they should be laughing their fool heads off because they didn't find these things. That's all artwork. They don't have them. They should be laughing, but they don't. Okay? All right. Those things are called the missing links for good reason. They are still missing. If you heard me speak 25 years ago, I said they're missing. Guess what? Today, they're still missing. Okay? They're gone. And we're going to, you know, evolutionist David Kitts says they require intermediate forms between the species, but the study of fossils does not provide them. I could quote a whole bunch of people saying the very same thing. The point is, the fossil record does not support evolution. What about the idea they found whales with legs on them? They're getting more and more stuff. You see in almost every textbook. Clear back when I started, I found this out, and I said, oh my goodness, what's the evidence on that thing? Okay, what's the evidence? And I started getting people to ask that question. What's the evidence? How many have heard me ask that before? Okay, how many have heard? Okay, a few of you. Okay, what's the evidence? What was the evidence back in 1984 to substantiate that picture on the front cover of Science magazine? You ready? Here it is, right there. One bone at the back of the head, a couple of teeth, and one little piece of jaw right there, nothing else. No backbone, no tail, no legs. Wait a minute. And yet, how can something without legs prove something walked? So did they really find a whale with legs? The answer is no. They still haven't, okay? Now, they have found more bones of Pachycetus. And they have now found some leg bones for Pachycetus. The problem is, they don't think the rest of it went together very well. And here's their new view of Pachycetus. I don't think that looks like a half whale, half land animal, do you? Not at all. Not at all. Okay. Denver Museum, whale ancestor jaw. A lot of young people and a lot of you may have been convinced of evolution, possibly for a while, by pictures just like this. And you should say, what's the evidence? What's the evidence for that Denver Museum exhibit? Two small shreds of a jaw. That's all they had. And yet, in the textbooks, they call it a whale with a leg. And young people get the idea. They found whales with legs. Nope, they did not. Okay? All right. Now, whales with legs. Whales with legs. Would that be an utter failure or what? Here's the third grade book, Convincing Young People of Evolution. Shows how the lobe-fin fish crawled out of the ocean, turned into the amphibians, later became you. And wow, great artwork. What's the evidence for that? Turns out, nothing. Not one scrap was found in between these two ever before this book was published. But look what it says. Transitional form or missing link show how this process of evolution, of course, took place. How can something that has not been found show anything? That's a good question. And over the years, I've been using these sort of things, even in schools, to get the kids to think. Okay? Fireproofing them for what they're going to be hit with. Okay? Not a thing. Well, guess what? In the last few years, they've found a candidate now from the transition from fish to amphibians. They call it Tiktaalik. Anybody heard of Tiktaalik or something, however you pronounce it? Oh, good. I'm glad you're not hearing about it. I'm glad. Because it's gone now. It's out the window. They thought this was the transition, and they called this thing a proto-leg, and it was going to walk on two legs and drag itself, and pretty soon it'd develop into legs over millions and millions of years. That's what they hoped, right? Problem, they were digging in a lower rock layer. They found a layer of shale, which is petrified mud, okay? But the problem with it, this is way down below where they found this guy's bones. Guess what they found? A trackway of a four-footed creature. In fact, a whole bunch of them milling around walking through the mud, leaving their footprints. How could that be the ancestor? You can't be your own grandmother, can you? So there's a real problem there. So that is now out the window. Okay, what page do you put dinosaurs on? That's a whole other presentation. But actually, you don't have to give up what the Bible says because of what somebody tells you about dinosaurs existing millions and millions of years ago. Stand firmly on the word, okay? Think about it for a minute. Read Job 40, starting with verse 15, okay? Behold now, behemoth. Okay, that's probably a dinosaur-type creature. That's my contention. But what about this turkey-like dinosaur found over in Utah? Wow. Great artwork. What's the evidence? Not one feather was found. Not one feather. And here's what they found. Only fragments of the animal were discovered. A fearsomely clawed hand and foot. But the dinosaur probably stood 7 feet tall and ran as fast as an ostrich. Oh, okay. Mark Twain says this about paleontology. He said, why, paleontology is such a noble subject. You get such wholesale returns from such a trifling investment of fact. Yeah. Ask that question, very important. Not everybody agrees that dinosaurs evolved into birds, okay? They don't agree. They show you these nice pictures of National Geographic, British Nature magazine, and they said if you use your imagination, these might be called proto-feathers on its way to becoming feathers. That's what they're going to tell you. Problem is, doesn't hold up. Doesn't hold up. That guy right there that you see that was actually put in National Geographic was a forgery. Strictly a forgery. A short time later, another one became a forgery. They found out too. Alan Fiducci is really ticked, University of North Carolina. He himself an evolutionist, but he doesn't like what they're doing. He said when they put that feathered dinosaur in the cover of National Geographic last year, I threw 30 years worth of magazines out of my house. National Geographic journalism is a joke. Then he said the hair-like filaments that accompany some fossils come from beneath the skin. I can duplicate the effect by skinning the tail of a modern lizard. Wow, don't do it at home, okay? Storrs Olson, he accused the magazine of engaging in sensationalistic, unsubstantiated tabloid journalism. Clearly, he wrote, the magazine is not receiving competent consultation in certain scientific matters. He's especially maddened or galled by the society's assertion that a wide variety of dinosaurs definitely wore feathers. This is just a lie, he says. There is not one undisputed example of a dinosaur with feathers. None. The public deserves to know this. Guess what? I just quoted the two top bird and fossil bird experts in the world. This guy from Smithsonian Institute. Okay? They're ticked. They haven't found it. But all the textbooks are starting to show dinosaurs with feathers. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because young people are so excited about dinosaurs, and now they have a foot in to really start showing them evolution into something totally different. Get them at a young age. Okay? We're in a war out there. It's a battle. Okay? So dinosaurs, now, in one of my presentations I show, like for instance, Natural Bridges, I show a picture of a dinosaur on the rock there. You find certain seals that look just like dinosaurs. Look at that. This is Mesopotamian cylinder. It looks just like this type of dinosaur right here. And I show a whole pile of those type of pictures. And I didn't do this DVD, but this one you have to have. Get that DVD and you'll see that dragons and dinosaurs are probably one and the same thing. And that people did see them. They did see them. It's not just folklore. Anyhow, so make sure you avail yourself to those particular books. And then even another brand new book. I don't even have a slide of it right now. But it's called Dragons, Legends, Dragon Legends and Dinosaurs, it's called. Our DVD set. Make sure you get this and give it out. We're not trying to make a lot of money. There are 12 sessions on DVDs with high-quality visuals, including a full 75-page study guide. We're selling the whole thing for $50, okay? We're not trying to get rich, but this will cover the gambit of creation versus evolution. Use it. Use it in small groups. Take it to your dorm if you're at Mesa College and show it to other students. They need to hear that, okay? Well, human evolution again. What's the evidence for that, huh? What's the evidence? I like this guy right here. This guy is really, in fact, most of them, some of them are made from a single tooth. But what about that guy right there? Yeah, here's the skull, here's the reconstruction. But people don't ask enough questions. Did they find the whole skull? The answer is no. All they found was the part of the skull that's dark in color. Okay, that's it. The skull cap. That's not enough evidence to get that whole guy, is it? You see, when students start hearing this, which they never hear in the classroom, all of a sudden they start saying, am I being led astray with this? Am I being taken captive by evolutionary philosophy, by pictures that aren't even what they're supposed to be? There's the guy that's reconstructed from a single tooth, turned out to be a pig's tooth. Okay? That's right. Sciences make mistakes. Piltdown Man, another deliberate forgery. Okay, the jaw of an ape, filed down, colored, put it together with the skull of modern man, and they came up with Piltdown Man, okay? Again, a forgery. Rhombithecus, wow, great artwork. What's the evidence for Rhombithecus? Here we go. Two small shreds of jaw is all they had, and from that they got Mr. Rhombithecus. And the next page of the kid's book, the rest of the family in there. Is that kind of stretching it a little? Yes, it is, isn't it? Lucy, again, they found two-thirds of a skeleton. They made this particular reconstruction. Wait a minute. Look at the hands and the face. How did they get that? They didn't even have any hand bones. Denver Museum even shows the foot structure, how it looked. They didn't find a foot. Okay, so that's kind of a problem. Well, actually, Dr. Johansson found a knee joint that's different than these two, and he assumed it was probably the same species, and he put it together, and they were found about a mile away, okay? Or 2 to 3 miles away, almost. But he thought they belonged to the same species in general. Again, composite pictures is what you're coming up with. And they make composite pictures to come up with this girl look like. Well, oh, by the way, now they have a head for Lucy, but the head was found about a mile away in a different direction, again, assumed to be the same species. Here's another one right here. Dr. Tim White made this reconstruction of afarensis. That's Lucy. That's all. But wait a minute, they didn't find the whole skull. Did you know that? This is pieced together from parts of several individuals. Not just one. Students don't know that. They're never taught that. Teachers probably don't know that either. Okay, Time Magazine talks about scraps of a skull, and then it says this. This toe bone, however, proves the creature walked on two legs. Therefore, that's your great-great-granddaddy. All right? Problem is, the toe bone was found 10 miles away. Again, assumed to be the same species, and who's going to argue with those experts, right? Who's going to argue with them? I do. Okay, well, you know, I talked about they're finding something new every time. Ida, they said this just a couple years ago. Ida, this new fossil, was going to be in textbooks for over 100 years. Wow. I thought, why only 100 years if it's true? Okay? That's what I was thinking. But it lasted only 5 months. This is very unusual. Only 5 months before the experts looked at it and said, nope, this isn't what you think it is. But they made a huge television campaign with museum unveilings, etc. And they did that before they even let the experts look at it. That's not the way you do science, okay? That's not it. Artie, wow, look at Artie. Wait a minute, hold on. They show Artie with a nice hand here, etc. Look at that hand. Boy, oh boy. Did you realize that hand was found in an entirely different location from the rest of the skeleton? And that Artie was put together from 36 individuals pieced together here and there? Again, you're going to make it look like whatever you want if your worldview forces you to give you an evolutionary explanation. Well, again, when you see a new face on the block, ask the questions. What's the evidence, right? Do they really know that from that evidence? And is it a composite? And many of them are. By the way, these skulls are all composites. Did you know that? Pieced together from several individuals. All right. Well, anyhow, this evidence here. Ask that question, what's the evidence? But I'm going to take it one step further. I'm not this morning going to talk about radioactive gay dating. I'm not going to talk about that. But join us this evening. We'll be talking more about that too. You can stand firm. One thing I do want to mention. Can I have about 5 more minutes? Give me about 5 more? Okay. You know, the Bible and God's Word agree. You're going to find that out as we talk about things, okay? We'll know that. Interesting thought from an atheist website here. He said, we may as well quit deluding ourselves. Animals, including the human animal, have no need for morality. Crows are great deceivers. Why should the human animal have morals? Deception is valuable. You know what the rest of the website gets into? Supposed proofs for evolution. Why should I believe another word of what they say if that's their philosophy? You see? That's right. Watch out on some of those things. That same site talks about, oh, Genesis 1 and 2 are conflicting accounts. This is one of the things the atheist sites are doing right now, and many of the atheist professors, they're hammering away. Can you believe the Bible? What about this discrepancy here and here? And we answer those even at the universities, even though we're talking about creation versus evolution. We get into more of that sometimes, okay? They're not conflicting accounts. They're complementary accounts. And you'll have to ask us later on that one. Where did Cain get his wife? Oh, you can't answer that, right? Yeah, you can. Atheist says we can't, but read Genesis chapter 5, where it says Adam and Eve didn't just have those mentioned, but had other sons and daughters. Genesis, there it is. There's your answer. Cain probably married a sister, which wasn't a problem back then. Okay? It is today. Why didn't Jesus claim to be the Messiah? Guess what? He did. Okay? There are answers to everything I brought up today. Okay? Answers. We will be giving more of those tonight. Okay? We'll be giving more. Okay? But there are good answers. So why are we doing this? What's at stake in this battle of worldviews? First of all, it has eternal consequences, doesn't it? Young people are getting bombed out of the saddle in their faith because of evolution. And it's destroying it. And you walk up to somebody on the street, you know what you might get hit with? Oh, you stupid Christian. How can you believe the Bible when evolution is a fact? I've had that happen to many, many students, and they recount that to me, okay? What else is at stake? Well, here's the pattern right here. The pattern develops. We hear, read this in biology. This is a direct quote out of a book. The fact is we humans are just as much animals as any worm, toad, or pig. Period one biology. You know what period two is, don't you? Self-esteem class. You know why you need it. Exactly. All right. If I'm nothing but an animal, why not put me in the zoo? Well, guess what? Copenhagen Museum Zoo did it. As part of an experiment to make visitors think about the ties to nature, the Copenhagen Zoo put the human couple in a plexiglass cage next to the baboons and monkeys. Isn't that a little bit degrading? But we keep hearing this over and over again. And if we're nothing but a glorified animal, who cares what I do? Just fill in the blank, right? Who cares? Eat, drink, be merry, sex, alcohol, drugs. That's a message of despair, isn't it? It is. Watch out. Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And these young people sometimes are getting trapped into it. Not just mentally, but they really enter into it, and it leads to despair. That's not the message of the Bible, is it? Message of the Bible is a message of hope. Our Creator God is our Creator, isn't He? He's our Alpha and Omega. He's our beginning and the end, the author and finisher of our faith. He is our salvation, and we go to certain churches and say, oh, why don't you just preach the Bible? Yeah, just preach salvation, yeah. But the kids are getting bombed in the schools, okay? That's what's happening. Yes, preach salvation, but God is our comfort right here and now. He's our wisdom. He's our shepherd, our father and a God. He's our provider and our hope. Isn't he? He's our hope. That's the message of the scripture. And that's why we go around the country sharing a positive message. God, our creator. Okay? Discover creation. We do that in many ways. We do all kinds of different locations, college, universities, public schools sometimes, but a lot of churches. But we're also training others to do the same, to train others to be able to reach others with this creation gospel message. One other thing that we're going to be launching, this is an important thing. You're the first church I'm telling it to, I think. We have felt so much that the need is there to be a bridge for the high school kids from high school to college. We're going to start a one-year Bible, let's call it a training institute. It's not exactly a Bible college, but it's definitely, we'll talk about Bible, etc. But it's going to be a training institute to prepare them to withstand the worldviews that they are going to be hit with when they're in the college. Problem is, they're already gone. I saw that book on your table over there. They're already gone sometimes before they even hit college. So we're going to be training the students that we teach to be able to go out and do vacation Bible schools, to do camps, etc., so the message gets spread among the younger generation as well. Okay? That's our goal, is the one-year training institute, training heavy on worldviews and specifically on the creation versus evolution, and why this is an important issue, okay? We also do family camps in the mountains and lots of great activities out there in those particular camps. Kids program, adult program, how do you like to go down a cliff with ropes? It's better than without ropes, but anyhow. lots of fun activities, whitewater rafting, that's a summer. You should have gotten a brochure on that. If you didn't, we'll make sure you get one a little later, okay? They're out here on the table. But what a wonderful time. But what's important for us is the amount of time we are able to spend with the kids and the adults teaching them on creation versus evolution. So the camps are important. Pick up that brochure. Encourage others to come to it as well. No better place than Camp Red Cloud. That's where we're doing it. Wonderful facilities, beautiful lodge rooms, place to stay that you might enjoy. It's not your normal camp, let's put it that way. And yeah, right. Gourmet food. Okay, gourmet food. And make sure you signed up for it. I think I believe if you didn't get a chance to do it when that sheet was passing around. Okay, well, God bless you guys. And avail yourself to the resources, the Answers book.